24. Julie, too, blinked at the mention of the name.
There's a Guadalcanal in Spain?
Sure, Gideon said unhappily. Why wouldn't there be? There's a Guadalquivir, a Guadalupe, a Guadalajara. Why wouldn't there be a Guadalcanal? He shook his head. It should have occurred to me before.
And that's where Gibraltar woman really came from. Or I guess I should say, Guadalcanal woman.
I guess you should. Ivan had it right that night, after all.
They were sharing a bench on the line wall promenade, a park-like esplanade atop a portion of the old fortified town wall, where the ranks of gleaming black cannons that had once defended the colony against flotillas of seaborne invaders now protected it against the cars in the landfill parking lot just below. In the distance, the impending sunset over smoggy Algeciras across the bay looked as beautiful as ever. Gideon, slouching uncharacteristically against the seat back, his legs extended, his hands in his pockets, had just given Julie the upshot of his visit there, as far as he and Fausto had worked it out on the drive back to Gibraltar. In a nutshell, the first family was a fake. The dig had been salted. The trustworthy, decent, reliable Ivan Gunderson had pulled off the biggest anthropological scam since, well, yes, since Piltdown Man. Oh, the dig at Gibraltar Point had been honestly and efficiently administered by Adrian and Corbin. No reason to doubt that. And Gibraltar Boy was, probably, an authentic member, a Neanderthal child, of the group that had lived there. That much still held up. But the fly, the very large fly in the ointment, was Gibraltar Woman, who didn't belong there at all. And without Gibraltar Woman, Europa Point was just one more moderately interesting Neanderthal site. The whole wonderful edifice of theory, hypothesis, and feel-goodness that had been constructed around the first family came crumbling down. In retrospect, it wasn't that hard to see how Ivan had pulled it off. He had, after all, been working both the Guadalcanal and Europa Point sites at the same time, back in 2000. At that time, as he usually did, he was working with crews of local laborers, not trained archaeologists or even students, since he didn't have any. So there was no one at either dig with the experience or knowledge, or interest, to note any funny business on his part. Apparently he had found the remains of Gibraltar Boy at Europa Point, and been struck by their somewhat ambiguous appearance, which could conceivably be taken as a mixture of human and Neanderthal traits. Prompted by whatever compulsion or momentary impulse, and no one was ever likely to know for sure what it was, he decided to give his beloved admixture theory a colossal shot in the arm. From the Guadalcanal site, he took what he needed, parts of the cranium, shoulder girdle, arms, and upper vertebral column of the female remains he'd found there, brought them to his other excavation at Europa Point, carefully tucked them into the soon-to-be-famous hanging crevice with Gibraltar Boy, and covered them over.
But why would he have left any of her up at Guadalcanal? Julie asked. Wouldn't it have been better, safer, to take the whole skeleton?
Gideon shrugged. Who knows? Maybe people already knew that there was a partial skeleton there, so he couldn't take it all. Or perhaps someone came along and interrupted him. Or, most likely, it's simply that the upper part was all he needed for the hoax. So that's what he took, along with a few fragments of the lower body so it didn't look too remarkable. Why risk fooling around trying to find and dig up the rest? Whatever the reason, once that was accomplished, Gunderson donated the Guadalcanal dig to the University of Cadiz and the Gibraltar Point site to the Horizon Foundation. After that, it was merely a matter of sitting back and waiting for the world-shaking discovery of the first family. It must have been a long, devilishly impatient wait, because, bureaucracy being what it is, it wasn't until March 2002, 2 years later, that the Horizon Foundation got through the usual red tape and legalese and began excavation. And then another 6 months, now under Adrian's methodical direction,
before they got to the hanging crevice, and news of the first family burst upon the world. In the meantime, up in Guadalcanal, where the red tape was pretty loose to say the least, the lower portion of the female's remains had long ago been excavated by De La Garza's students and had gone on to their unheralded post-mortem career as teaching tools in the Polytechnic Institute in Algeciras.
"I'm having a hard time with that part of it," Julie said with a frown. "These people, Adrian, Corbin, Prue, they're all professionals. They know what they're doing, isn't that true?"
"Sure, pretty much. Prue maybe isn't quite as experienced in field work as the others. But what's your point?"
"My point is, how could they all have been fooled? How could Ivan have gotten away with it? Aren't there signs when a dig has been messed with like that? Doesn't it disturb the sediments, or strata, or whatever you call them? Can't a competent archaeologist recognize an inserted burial?"
"An intrusive burial, and yes, sure, there are signs. Because when you do what Ivan did, insert bones or anything else at a level they don't belong, you necessarily disturb the beds, the layers of sediment above it. It's not that hard to spot."
"Well, that's my question. Why didn't they spot it?"
"They did spot it, as a matter of fact. On the way back, I stopped by the conference downtown to ask Prue about it, and she said right out that there was no question about it. The burial itself was in bed 4, down at the bottom, so ordinarily you'd expect the more recent layers, beds 1, 2, and 3, to be intact above it.
But...
but when a farmer with his bulldozer has been there before you, doing his damnedest to turn the place into a mushroom farm, all bets are off."
"Okay, I see that," she said, nodding. "But I would have thought there were some kind of geological tests that could confirm it, one way or the other."
"There are. Soil tests, skeletal tests, tests on associated flora and fauna. And I have no doubt they are now going to be performed. But they're expensive, and they take time. You don't do them unless you have some specific reason."
"And the possibility of a hoax wasn't a good enough reason?"
"Julie, the possibility never arose. Gunderson wasn't the greatest excavator in the world, but he was, we thought he was, a reputable archaeologist, of long standing. The possibility of, he could hardly bring himself to say it, of fraud would never have crossed anybody's mind."
"Uh-huh. Because the science of archaeology relies on the integrity of its practitioners."
He sighed. "That's about it," he said miserably. "Let's get a bite. I forgot all about lunch." They walked a few blocks to Main Street, more or less mentally chewing their cuds, and found a palm-shaded patio table at Latino's Classic American Diner, which, despite its name, featured an eclectic menu of European, Chinese, Tex-Mex, and Moroccan foods. Another cruise ship was in port, and the streets were again mobbed. But at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the restaurant was relatively uncrowded. Julie, who wasn't hungry, asked for an iced tea. Gideon ordered a chicken BLT on ciabatta bread and a Coke.
"So," Julie said, "why was Ivan killed? Why was anybody killed? Why were you attacked?"
"Well, there, all we've got is surmise. But the most probable scenario is
that someone else besides Ivan knew the find was faked and was desperate to keep anyone else from finding out."
"Yes, that's the way I see it. If you start with a first person killed, Sheila, the fact that she had those 2 matching vertebrae from the 2 different sites makes it clear that she found out about it. And she was going to expose it at the conference. I mean, why would she have brought them with her to Gibraltar except to use them as Exhibit A?"
"But if that's the case, why wouldn't the killer have gotten rid of them? Apparently he got rid of the paper she was going to present and any notes she might have had. Why leave the vertebrae? They were her proof positive. Wouldn't he have taken them too?"
Gideon spread his hands. "My guess is that he didn't know about them.
Remember, Sheila played things pretty close to the vest, according to everyone. She was probably saving them to make a big splash at her talk, which they would have, a huge splash.
But obviously she told someone, or she'd still be alive.
Well, yes, told or implied or insinuated. Anyway, enough to scare him into killing her.
Or her, Julie amended.
So the question is, who would Sheila have told? For which I don't have an answer. Do you?
No, it could have been any of them.
She paused while the waiters set down their orders.
And what about what happened to you? Was that on account of that newspaper article? Someone was afraid you'd found out too? That you really had something that was going to leave Piltdown in the dust?
Looks like it.
Which it would have, I gather.
And still will when it gets out.
And poor Ivan himself was murdered because he was going to give a speech the next day.
Uh-huh,
Gideon managed around a heavenly mouthful of bread, chicken, bacon, tomato, and mayonnaise. She paused to sugar her iced tea and have a first sip.
But wait a minute, she said thoughtfully. We talked about this before. Ivan must have given plenty of other speeches over the years. Why would someone think he would choose to reveal it now?
I doubt if anyone thought he would choose to reveal it. But now, she finished the sentence for him,
now someone was afraid he might reveal it inadvertently, because of that Guadalcanal slip.
I think so, he put down the sandwich. If only I'd realized what it was about at the time, I might have been able to prevent.
No, you couldn't have. There was no conceivable way you could have known what that Guadalcanal meant. How could anyone?
You're right, I know, he said with a sigh. Still, I can't help thinking that if I'd been a little quicker on the uptake...
Now you stop that right now, she said firmly. Eat your sandwich. Don't be so hard on yourself. If somebody had told you then, what was it, 4 days ago? What you've just finished telling me, would you have believed it?
Not in a million years.
You know, she said, while he returned to chewing away, this pretty much settles it. It has to be one of our people. Someone who was right there in the dining room that night. Someone who heard Ivan get confused over Gibraltar and Guadalcanal.
That's right. Rowley, Audrey, Buck, Adrian, Corbin, Prue. The very same people, by the way, who were around last night when George brought those two vertebrae to the table. One of them obviously recognized what they were, what they represented, and rifled our room hunting for it. Which, he added with a smile, we still wouldn't know about if old Eagle Eye here hadn't spotted a jacket hung backward.
Rowley, Audrey, Buck, Adrian, Corbin, Prue, she recited. So who had the motive? Which of them would benefit most from keeping the fake a secret?
Hey, you're thinking like a cop now. That's exactly what Fausto asked me.
And what did you say?
I said it was a pretty good motive for all of them, every last one.
He dabbed mayonnaise from the corner of his mouth and explained. For each of them, the fact that there was no Gibraltar woman, no first family, would be a hideous blow to their reputations and even to their livelihoods. Adrian and Corbin probably had the most to lose. They had written the standard academic books on the first family, and they had supervised the dig itself. There was no way they could come out of this without looking like bunglers and, worse than bunglers in the minds of fellow scientists, dupes. Or maybe it was Rowley that had the most to lose. He hadn't been involved in the dig, per se, but his precious museum was founded on its supposed findings, and his new book, the book he'd been working on for 3 years, was now worse than meaningless. Audrey...
That does look good, she said, indicating his sandwich. How about cutting me off some?
It is good. Want one of your own?
No, I'd rather have a piece of yours.
He sliced off a quarter for her and went back to his rundown. Audrey, heretofore esteemed for her expertise and acumen, would be ridiculed as another dupe, and, considering her long record of caustic remarks about others, there were plenty of colleagues just waiting for the chance to do it. Buck had had nothing whatever to do with Gibraltar Point, but his devotion to Audrey couldn't be missed, and who knew what lengths he might go to in order to protect her. Prue probably had the least to worry about. True, she was the person who had actually dug up the remains, but in her case there were extenuating factors, namely the depredations of a rampant bulldozer before she ever got there. On the other hand, extenuating factors were probably not going to entirely get her off the hook. There was no getting around the fact that she had personally excavated the sham First Family and had never had a clue that there was anything wrong. She would go down as one more dupe. Maybe not a world-class dupe like the others, but a dupe all the same. Between them, they had finished the sandwich. Gideon ordered coffee, and Julie got a refill on her iced tea. She pulled slowly at the straw with a contemplative scowl. "What?" Gideon said.
"Well, I was just thinking. What about your reputation? You were the senior author of the paper that started the whole thing, after all. I mean, the thing about Gibraltar Boy being a hybrid and all."
He put down his cup. This was something that hadn't occurred to him. "I think I'll come out of it all right," he said, not as confidently as he might have liked. "Remember, we went out of our way not to call him a hybrid. Other people did that. We just described him as accurately as we could. What does bother me a little is that we didn't spot the fact that the two sets of remains came from two different sites over 100 miles apart. Different soils, different weathering patterns. We did say, I hope we said, something about them differing more than one would anticipate for bodies that had been buried together, and their color and their preservation and so on. But when you're dealing with bones 25 millennia old, you expect that kind of variation, so I don't think anybody's going to fault us for not making something of it."
"Aha, I see," Julie said. "Extenuating factors, is that it?"
He laughed. You think maybe you're looking at one more dupe after all?"
"Oh, I doubt it. But I wouldn't worry about it anyway. If they frog march you out of anthropology, you've got your other career all ready and waiting for you."
"I do. What career would that be?"
"Writing stunning exposés for Lester Rizzo and Javelin Press, of course. Which reminds me," she drained her tea, "the Javelin reception starts at 5. We'd better get started if you want to go."
"I don't."
"But you have to. Lester is your editor, and you're one of their star authors. He's going to want to show you off. You have to make an appearance. Besides, Rowley would be crushed if you weren't there."
"You're right, as always," Gideon said, getting up reluctantly. "Let's go then. Oh, by the way, we're not supposed to mention any of this to any of the others. Orders from Fausto."
Julie responded with a snappy salute.
"Yes, sir. Will do, sir."